All right. So our question for the day is, what product sponsor would you like to see available in the Disney parks and why?
What product sponsor? Tell me more. What do you mean?
So, like, we know that Coca-Cola is the main soda brand.
Right.
And that's their product for soda.
Okay.
So if you had to have one specific product that you love in the Disney parks, what would it be and why?
My brain just went completely blank. My brain just opened up the nothing box and said, I'm going to hide in here for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And since I asked the question based on your logic, rules don't apply. So my answer is a cop-out, kind of, because it's already there.
Okay.
And that would be the formerly known as H2O bath and body product.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I'm so mad they took those away.
Well, they're still there.
Are they still there?
Yep, they're not branded by H2O anymore because Disney bought it.
Okay, okay.
So H2O, H2O went out of business. Like, the company went out of business. Disney bought the recipes to all of their products, and now they have their own bath products in the resorts.
Yeah.
It's Disney branded with the H2O recipes.
And fragrances and all the wonderful things.
Good. Thank God.
I know. God.
Perfect.
That's my...
And just because you love it so much, that's your why? Yes,
just because I love it so much, and every time I smell it, I think of Disney.
Yes. Do they make candle scents that are the H2O products?
No.
Ooh, they should. Okay. Lariah, do you know what you're going to say? Because I still have no idea.
That's a hard question, but a good one. You know, I do kind of have one. But it's kind of weird.
We like weird.
I was going to say the Dr. Scholl's gel memory foam. Oh, your feet hurt.
That's so a million dollar idea, honestly.
Brand, Disney branded Molson.
Mm-hmm.
Band-Aids, all of things. Mm-hmm. Like, they could do it already, because I've learned in the last week or two, and it was reinforced in a conversation I had today, that if you go to, like, the medical station in each of the parks, they will give you, like, you sign something and they'll give you aspirin. Or if your feet, if you've gotten a blister, they will give you Moleskine. They don't even charge you for it. So how cool would it be to have, like, Mickey Moleskine by Dr. Scholl's?
Mm-hmm. As long as they don't call it mouse skin, we're fine.
Premium mouse skin.
That's where I draw the line. Too far. Too far.
Much. Too much. Okay, now it's my turn.
Good answer, though, Lariah.
I love that. Thinking outside the box. I want to think of something that's kind of missing that would be awesome to be there. This is so hard. Okay, I'm just going to go with the first thing that popped into my mind, even though, again, it's kind of a cop-out because it's been there before, and it's kind of just a comfort foodie thing for me.
Okay.
I want McDonald's back in the parks. Okay. I want to be able to go find a McDonald's cheeseburger or McDonald's fries or whatever, instead of some of the crappy food that they have from some of their quick services. I want something that I know what it's going to taste like.
You know it's going to be crap.
Right. It's crap, but you know what it tastes like. You know it's good, and I'm using air quotes.
It's reliable.
It's reliable. Yeah. You know what you're getting, but it has Mickey Mouse in the wrappers.
Okay.
Which will make it taste better.
Yes, 100%. All right, so there it is.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Scott.
I'm Candace.
I'm Lacey.
And I'm Lariah.
Grab a drink and come hang with us at the Hangar Bar.
All right. So welcome back, everyone, to Hanging at the Hangar Bar. You have most of the crew with you tonight. We are missing Lacey. And Lacey, if you're since you're listening, we miss you.
We do.
The conversation is not the same without you, but we'll try and muddle through. So tonight's discussion is compliments of our dear Lariah.
Yay!
And we are going to be talking about, in our opinion, what are the 7 wonders of Disney World? I think this is a fabulous question. Fabulous topic. Good discussion.
I think so too. So are we going to go kind of like opening Christmas presents where we're going to go around the room one by one? Or are we going to do our 7 and then move on to the next person?
No, I think we need to go one by one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're actually going to end up with potentially 21 wonders.
But it's each of our own 7. Yes.
Okay. So you want to do it like families do Christmas presents, one at a time, and watch one another. Okay.
Yep.
I'm down for it.
All right. Who wants to start?
Lariah, it was your topic. You tell us what your number one Disney World wonder is.
All right. My number one is Main Street, USA.
Ooh, that's nice.
A good one. Tell us a little bit more about why you put that on your list.
It is Disney's, for lack of a better word, hot spot. And it's just where people gather to celebrate. That's like celebration time. You know, parades, that is Disney's most notable street pathway.
I do like that because, like, and what you said about it being kind of the party and kind of the gathering place, which is exactly what Walt wanted Main Street to be for both Disneyland and Disney World, and all, now all the other parks, is that one kind of center place where people would come and gather.
Mm-hmm.
And how you, there's nothing to do on Main Street USA except get excited and spend money.
Which is perfect.
Right.
But also, if you think about it, it's kind of like a Hall of Fame. Because of all the windows and mm-hmm. all the people that have made Disney what it is today. And you get to celebrate those people as well.
Yes, for sure.
Like it.
Okay, Candace?
Okay, well, my first one is the backside of water.
Ooh. Tell us why.
So that comes directly from the Jungle Cruise when you are going underneath Schweitzer Falls, which is named for the famous Dr. Albert Falls. So when you're starting off on the adventure, you go on the front side, and then when you're going towards the back of it, then you go under the falls, and it's the backside of water.
So why did it make your list?
Because it's a dumb joke and I love it.
Okay. I thought maybe because it has become so iconic that almost everybody on the boat knows that the line is coming, so they all shout it with the skipper.
Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. My number one wonder of Disney World is Epcot's World Showcase.
Love it.
For many of the same reasons that Lariah said about Main Street USA, I think what made me put World Showcase up there is the gathering place and the celebration of the world around us and how small the world becomes.
Mm-hmm.
You can experience so much culture and so much while you're at a theme park in Central Florida that I know of, there's nothing else like it in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of love that.
Yeah.
That's my number one.
I like it.
Okay.
Number two, Lariah.
My number two is Echo Lake in Hollywood Studios.
Oh, very good. Tell us more.
It's all I have to say is that it's stunning and it's so calm and peaceful, even though people make it kind of chaotic around it. There's something that when it kind of reminds me when we went to Marceline, Missouri, that little lake area. That's where it reminds me of, and it's very serene and just well taken care of and beautiful.
I mean, Gertie the dinosaur is right there. So. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
How can you go wrong?
Right.
Yeah. And I love what you said, Lariah, because it's something I noticed on our last trip when we went in February. One of the things that I really loved about this trip is Candace and I were able to find those moments of calm in the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Those are few and far between at Disney. So if you can find those things and lock on to them, mm-hmm. it just makes your trip that much better, right? I just mm-hmm. love that. And if you find your calm in Echo Lake and all the things that are kind of going on around that, and in, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Well done.
Your turn.
Okay, so my second wonder of Disney World is the scientific fact that Mickey-shaped food or anything eaten or drunk out of a Mickey-shaped vessel tastes better.
Agreed.
That is a scientific fact.
It is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what scientists signed off on that or if it's been double-blind tested, but it's true.
Sure.
I love that.
And we prove it every time we go. Put Mickey on it, like so much so that when we had the croque de glace, the sauce we put on was put on in a Mickey shape to make it taste better.
100%. And the cast member even told us that.
Right.
She's like, it'll taste better. I'm like, well, by all means.
You do what you need to do.
That's right.
Okay. My second wonder of Disney World is Cinderella Castle.
Okay. Tell me why.
It has made it. It is almost now as synonymous with Disney as Mickey is.
Mm-hmm.
You look at all of the starts to movies and cartoons and all of those things. They all start with that imagery of the castle.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody remembers their first time walking around the corner of Main Street and seeing the castle there in the distance and kind of getting your breath caught by it and the fireworks shows that happen around it throughout the day and night and spectaculars and all of those things. It would not be Magic Kingdom without Cinderella Castle. It would not be Disney World without Cinderella Castle.
And it hits me in the feels every time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And do you find it interesting? Like you bring up a good point. Do you find it interesting that they chose Cinderella Castle for the opening of the movies and things like that, rather than Sleeping Beauty Castle, even though that was the first in Disneyland?
I think they chose it because it has a better silhouette.
True story.
Like I don't remember Snow White Castle in person because I was 9.
Sleeping Beauty Castle?
Yeah, whatever. I don't remember Sleeping Beauty Castle because the last time I saw it, I was 9.
Okay.
And that was a lot of years ago. But it's shorter.
Yes.
So if you think about that opening to the music with the...
It's more grandiose.
Right.
Yes.
That's why they chose that one. Now, what are the castles in the foreign parks?
I don't know.
I'll have to look that up but now it doesn't really matter because they're not going to move away from Cinderella Castle.
Right, because it's established.
Right.
Yes.
Even if there is a more grandiose castle out there, they're not going to change it.
Yep.
Because Cinderella, and also the fact that it's an Imagineering marvel that they're like, oh, the height that we have to put a light on top of this is 200 feet. Let's build this 199.6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that. Like, great
stick big, to the man.
Great big middle finger to Florida. It's
which is not inappropriate.
Right. We'll show you. Okay, Lariah, you're number 3.
My number 3 wonder of Disney World is, this is specific, the bus stops at the resorts.
Okay, tell me why.
There's nothing like leaving your resort to go get on this bus with your fellow Disney lovers to go ride to a park where you're just going to have an amazing time. It's that excitement feeling when the mornings are like breezy and cool. And you're just getting on a bus and going, not having to worry about anything. Your destination is taken care of and your plans are assured.
Yes.
I like it. Plus, I think it's pretty cool that they have the math figured out so that a bus shows up every 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And they have a sophisticated enough system that you can sit there and watch the monitor and know how far away your bus is.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the next bus that's showing up is for Animal Kingdom and it's going to be here in 3 minutes. You watch your watch and 3 minutes later, that bus comes rolling on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like the structure of it. It's so put together.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Their bus fleet is just amazing. But yeah, every bus stop that we've been at all of the resorts, they're covered. They're even the bus stations at the parks themselves are so well thought out, and the way you kind of wait to get on, and yeah, it's a pretty cool system.
Yeah, it is. For sure.
For sure. For sure.
Thank you, Janice. All right, my third wonder of Disney World is the emotional connection that isn't the same for anybody else. Like the fact that you can go into a park and have basically the same experience as 100,000 other people that same day, but you're going to walk away from it with different feelings than anybody else.
Yeah. I think I get what you're saying. What I hear you saying is that even though you're in a park with 100,000 other people, there are 100,000 different experiences.
Yes.
Even with people that you're going with, you could be walking side by side and I'll notice something and you'll notice something different.
Yep. And that emotional pull is powerful enough to make grown adults like devotees for life.
Right.
And it takes one. That's some powerful stuff right there.
It is. It is. It can even drive people to start a podcast.
Yeah, imagine. Nerds.
Those Disney nerds.
Disney nerd.
Okay, my number three, to no one's surprise, is Carousel of Progress.
What?
Matt B.
I didn't know you knew what that was.
So the reason I put it on a wonders list is because of the history and what it meant for what Disney World became. I've said this in many other episodes before, so we won't dwell on it for long, but Carousel of Progress walked so that my brain just went dead. So that the animatronic from Pandora could run.
Yes.
The Carousel of Progress walked as a stage show so that all of the other things that we see in terms of storytelling and connectedness to our past and the future could run.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things. Like, we would not be where we're at today without that animatronic on that scale. Because there were other smaller animatronics first.
The Tiki Birds.
The Tiki Birds. Mr. Lincoln was about the same time as Carousel of Progress.
Mm-hmm.
But putting that many animatronics to work at once led to the Hall of Presidents, led to the American Adventure in Epcot, led to so many different things. And now as we think about the new Tiana ride, it led to all of the different animatronics that they're going to be able to do there.
Mm-hmm.
The realistic animatronics that we have today are because they figured out how to do a wide range of animatronics then.
Mm-hmm.
Spaceship Earth exists because Carousel of Progress existed. That's why when you think of wonders of the world, it's things that are beautiful, things that have such a big impact. That's why I put it on my list, is I think that attraction had so much impact on what the rest of the theme parks became.
Which I think is probably another reason it's one of your favorites.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was my sermon for the day.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Step off your soapbox.
Okay, number four.
Yeah.
My number four is Carousel of Progress.
Okay.
Okay. Let's hear your reasoning.
They are very, very similar in terms of the history aspect of it and the connection to Walt, of course.
Thank you.
And just the progression of storytelling. Like Scott said, it's a basis for a lot of other rides, and it's just an absolute classic, if not the classic ride.
And yeah, and I should have mentioned AC. That. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to mention the AC in the hot weather. So that's a wonder.
Yes. 30 minutes in the air conditioning on a hot Florida day. But what you said about being Walt, and so what makes it even more of a Disney World wonder is it is the only thing that Walt actually touched in Disney World. That's why if they ever decide to get rid of it or do something different, I am going to riot.
There's no way.
I will drive my happy ass to Florida, and I will protest outside of Magic Kingdom until I die. I will quit my job. I will become homeless. I will sit outside of right outside the Magic Kingdom gates with a sign that says, "You killed Walt."
Oh my God.
I may have to put that look on our thumbnail, Candace. Since we're on Zoom, I do have access to that thumbnail now.
Why don't you glue yourself to one of the seats inside?
There you go. On the last day, just go in and refuse to leave. Just, I'm not leaving. You cannot. What are you going to do? Drag me out of here? Yes, sir, we are.
And we're going to trespass you so you can't ever come back.
We're going to unbolt your chair and just carry you out. You sad, sad little man.
Either that or they'll let you sit there long enough until John comes alive and kicks you out himself. Right.
Oh, goodness. That's too funny. Okay. Any other reasons for that one, Lariah, before we move to Candace's fourth?
Nope.
Okay. My fourth, and this should come as a surprise to no one, is the details. And when I say that, I mean that people are so busy and so focused on getting to the next thing or finding the next snack or buying the next thing or whatever the case may be, that they don't really notice the details that are there. But with that said, they would notice if they weren't there.
And the details. Makes Disney Disney.
100%. Well, that and the cast members, but we'll talk about that later.
You don't want that level of detail. Go to Six Flags.
Precisely.
That should be our like tagline for everything. If you don't like our podcast, go to Six Flags. Like my opinion, go to Six Flags.
You behave like trash, go to Six Flags.
Funny. Okay, I like that one, the detail. So my number four is another attraction. I have a few attractions on my Disney World wonders, but the one number four on my list is the Kilimanjaro Safari.
Okay, that tracks.
The fact that it takes up as much land as Magic Kingdom is, and that you get to go in the Imagineering behind that, to where you can go on a safari and feel like you are in different parts of the world with all of these animals that should not coexist together, that coexist together, and you can't tell how they're separated, just blows my mind. It just is amazing to me how they've done that and how much care they give to the animals. Mm-hmm. And all of that is just, it's just, Kilimanjaro Safari is something special.
Yes.
Obviously. And
how they get the deer creatures that they have to lay eggs.
Right. I don't know how they lay eggs. I'll never know.
I don't know if that's like genetic engineering or what it is, but it's pretty miraculous.
The Imagineering. Maybe
living with the land as well.
That's what's in the back of the lab.
Yeah.
Egg laying antelopes.
And laying eggs that are almost as big as an antelope.
So that's what's going on with the audio animatronic chickens in the Living with the Land, like by the farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Those and an antelope
have crossbred.
Yeah.
So they're anti-chickens or chickalopes.
I like the chickalopes. Magical eggs. I really don't want to be around when they hatch, though. That would be scary.
So, what your challenge, should you choose to accept it, is for the thumbnail for this episode.
To be a chickalope?
I need a chickalope.
Okay.
Perfect.
I'm not going to Google
it. Is it? So, would it be an antelope-sized chicken or a chicken-sized antelope?
Chicken-sized antelope could be pretty adorable.
Right.
Otherwise known as a goat.
Pygmy goat? Big of a chicken. What if it's like
an antelope with like chicken legs?
Or wings.
Feathers.
And wings.
It's antelope with wings.
Oh my.
I like it. Okay. I think we've officially derailed that topic long enough.
It's a wonder.
It is a wonder. It's a wonder how we get through these sometimes. Right.
Oh, gosh.
Lariah, you're number five.
Oh. Okay. My number five, to no surprise to no one, is the Poop River.
Oh, my gosh. Next time we go, we have to get your picture on the Poop River. Like, I don't know, you're going to lay down on the street for just a minute.
Right. You're going to lay in the Poop River, and we're going to get your picture.
Please, that's all I've ever wanted.
Okay, so who's going to explain what the Poop River is for people that don't know?
I think Laura needs to do it since it's her wonder.
So it's in Liberty Square, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So that's colonial times, you know, listeners.
Much like yesteryear or the days of yore.
Oh, yes, back then. So they didn't have indoor plumbing. So they just chucked their poop and pee out the window. And it just streamed down the street because that's all they had. So Disney, in their colonial brains,
wisdom,
inserted the Poop River to make it more authentic, the detail.
So it's not a real Poop River.
No.
It's colored concrete.
Yes.
To be reminiscent of a Poop River.
Yes.
Because they couldn't introduce dysentery to the parks Maxes. Like they really wanted to.
Right.
The detail.
And I still think it's flawless that there are no restrooms in Liberty Square.
That is a true fact about Disney World. You cannot find a bathroom in Liberty Square.
Correct.
There are buildings in Liberty Square with bathrooms, but technically, if you look at them on the map,
They're in other
parts of the park. Like, they're in a corner of a building that corner is in
Frontierland,
yeah, or something like that. So there are no official restrooms in Liberty Square, which is kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, thank you for shedding a light on that.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And that speaks again to the detail that you were talking about, though.
Yes.
Like, who thinks about that? They're building Liberty Square, and they're like,
huh. Poop River.
Somebody, that means an Imagineer was reading a book about colonial America and said, oh, when they went to the bathroom in buckets, they just threw it out the window.
They were reading dysentery. A toilet got backed up.
Let's hope you weren't taking your, you know, afternoon constitutional outside, and all of a sudden you're walking underneath the window and here it comes.
Ew.
Maybe that's why the haunted doll is haunted.
We did not go look for that.
No, we did not.
Mm-hmm. Meant to go look for her.
Oh, dang it.
I know.
Okay, Candace, you're number five.
Okay, my number five is, of course, the cast members. I've said it before, I will say it again, I will say it until the day I die. It is a hill I will die on every single day. The cast members are what make Disney, Disney, and they are 100% the magic.
100% agree.
Mm-hmm. I love them all. Every single one of them.
100% agree. And one of my wonders will be tied back to that, but not my next one. Okay. So anything else you want to say about cast members?
I don't think there's anything more that needs to be said.
Okay. So my number five is my last attraction on my list of wonders of Walt Disney World. And it is Rise of the Resistance.
Solid.
It is, from start to finish, the best attraction that I think has ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
From queue to storytelling to queue to storytelling to queue to ride.
To cast members.
To cast members playing a great part of the whole thing. Being the how they set you up to get into the Star Cruiser. And that first room you walk into with all the, no spoiler alerts, without all the things.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk in there and your jaw just hits the ground. And then all, like, the at room is,
mm-hmm.
Oh, everything about that attraction. It has thrill. It has great connectedness to story. You feel like you're a part of it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That is, for me right now, the peak of kind of thrill attraction that I've ever seen.
Okay.
That's why I put it on my wonders list.
Fair enough.
I love it.
That was just very passionate of me.
It was. Came
across as very passionate. Mm-hmm. It's better than just, I wonder what it could be. Rise of the Resistance is fun. Okay, Lariah, you're number six.
Okay, my number six ties into yours, Scott, and also my number five. It is going to be the Galaxy's Edge bathrooms.
Hey, we need to talk about that. Because before we went, Lacey said, you have to make sure that you go to the bathroom when you guys are in Galaxy's Edge. And mm-hmm. It just happened that I did. What did I miss?
They were way more immersive than I think Galaxy's Edge itself. I thought I was on a spaceship.
The toilets.
I thought I was on a spaceship when I was using that toilet, and it scared me. That's how immersed I was. It was freaky. I was scared in that bathroom. It was amazing.
Okay. I mean, I thought they were themed really well, but I didn't. Like, I've seen better Disney bathrooms in my day.
Okay. Maybe they've gone a little downhill because of.
But with that said, the theming and the insides of them fit perfect. Like, it was flawless as far as tying it back to anything in the land. So I get where you're coming from with that. But as far as being a wow bathroom, no.
Oh, man. I wish it would have impressed you. They were crazy.
And I wonder if you used a different bathroom.
Maybe.
Because there's more than one.
Yeah. Maybe.
We could have.
Yeah, because the one that you all went into was kind of in the hall, like, not the hallway, the street. And I'm trying to describe the street because you'll remember it, where, like, with all the shops and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's not the one I used.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a dark street and you go into the bathroom.
Yeah, that wasn't the one.
Don't yuck somebody else's yum, Candace.
No, I mean,
Not that Lariah's yum is a bathroom. That sounded really bad.
Well, I don't know, with one being a poop river.
People are going to come to social medias and be like, is Lariah okay? That's blink twice if she needs help.
This is a podcast.
It's an audio-only podcast. Blink twice if you need help. You're number six?
I don't know how I'm going to follow that one. So my number six is the ability to present the opportunity for different experiences in the same day. And what I mean when I say that is that I don't know of any other place on this planet where you can go from having an experience of having an amazing safari with animals that could potentially eat you if they could get to you, and then go to a place where you're allowed to be a four-year-old, no matter how old you are, and then go to a place where that will take you several spots around the world, and then go be sunk in the middle of a movie somewhere. You can do all of that in the same day, and I don't know of any other place on this planet that where you can do that.
I like that. It speaks again to the number of the amount of different experiences that people can have and how it's unique to every individual, and you can prioritize what's important to you and make it what you want it to be.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep.
Okay. So my number six is Disney's culture of service.
Love it. Live it. Own it. That's my passion point. Thank you.
So I put it on my list and it just popped into my head because we were talking at work the other day and my boss came to my team to introduce himself because we're in a new org structure, and we were just going through and I was introducing myself to the group a little bit. And I said, I'm a huge fan of Disney. And I said, and it's not because of the theme parks. And I said, and I don't know how true this is. It may have been a little bit of a white lie. So if you are on my team and you listen, please forgive. I said, I could take or leave the theme parks, but what brings me back consistently is the service and the attention to detail that Disney is able to get into everything. They are, it's almost like people are brainwashed, even if they're unhappy employees. If like Disney has their share of unhappy employees / cast members. I'll guarantee it. Nobody, there's no corporation that has 100% of the people that love working for them.
I mean, it's people.
Right.
So, yeah.
But yet, when they come to work, when they are interacting with you, whether it be from a call center or in the theme parks or how they're building their different websites, they are all coming in and have that guest experience in mind. And how they've built that culture is just fascinating to me and something that I think more companies need to try and emulate. It's now, it's an expensive model.
Yes.
It costs money to do it, which is why more companies don't.
Yep.
But how much better of a world would it be if everybody put that level of detail into their service model?
We would have a lot more people feeling a lot very similar to how people feel about Disney. We would have people feeling a lot more that way toward a lot of other companies. And a lot of those other companies would gain lifelong loyalty and fan base, for lack of a better term, if that's what they adopted.
Yeah. And for the most part, you only get that at other companies when you find the rare individual that cares. But at Disney, they've instilled a culture where it seems like everybody cares. It's just, it's amazing to me.
And it's a beautiful thing.
It is. It is. Okay.
Number seven.
Number seven, Lariah. Does it have anything to do with poop?
Or a bathroom?
No, it doesn't. No.
Shoot.
It's a crazy thought. Okay. My seventh wonder is the outdoor patio on Casey's Corner.
Okay.
A lot of my memories go back to sitting there. Ex-nay on the people. Sorry, anyone who was there while we were there, but you were loud. But it was the view from that spot of the, like, the landscaping, and then seeing, what is a Walt's statue called?
Partners.
Partners, that's right. I feel like I ask that all the time. That, and then that silhouette leading on the castle. It's like you see Walt's statue, and then you see the castle right behind him, and it's kind of like a little tower of everything that he built. And just, I don't, it's just a stunning view, and it was just one of my most peaceful moments there. And I just kind of zoned everyone out and just kind of stared while we were waiting to see the fireworks. And so if you ever get the chance to wake up early enough and go to the park and just, you don't even have to order anything from Casey's Corner, and just sit there and stare at that around you, it's so beautiful. And like seeing all the happy people, you know, focus on the happy ones, not the other ones who are screaming. But I don't know, it just kind of is a, like a community thing where everyone's just here to have fun, and it's so beautifully driven. Long explanation. Love it.
A good one.
Yes, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, your number seven?
All right, my number seven is how Walt Disney World continues to grow and change, and yet it always holds on to that nostalgia. And the things that people find nostalgic, again, I'm going back to the individuality of it all, because I think a lot of different people have a lot of different moments or things that remind them of something. And they go back and they find those things that they love. And so no matter how much it changes and how many new things come in, those nostalgic pieces are always going to be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Beautiful.
My number seven shares a word. Nostalgia.
Okay.
I put connectedness / nostalgia as nostalgia. English is a hard language, y'all. I put that together, that connection to the brand, nostalgia for the brand. Because as I think about Disney, can you think of any other brand in the history of the world that has the kind of following and connectedness to it that Disney has?
No.
I can think of only one, and it's kind of one, but it's lots. Religion.
Okay.
Religion is about the only other thing that pops into my mind when I think about the how it has a draw to people that builds a connection that just makes you feel good, right? It just makes you feel like you are important, makes you feel like there's something in life that is just completely there to exist to make you a better person. And I feel that way about Disney, right?
Mm-hmm.
That connectedness, that I want to go back. And I think it's interesting that you called out that it's always changing and always growing, because we spend a lot of time on this podcast talking about what it was.
Uh-huh. We do.
And a lot of consternation about what it will become.
Right.
We don't do that with Coke. We don't do that with McDonald's.
I don't care.
We don't do that with Dr. Scholl's. We don't do that with H2O products. We do that with Disney, which I think is just, it's amazing to me, and why I put it on my wonders list, because there's nothing else like it.
So are you saying then that Disney is somewhat like a cult?
Not somewhat like. You have to pay money to get into it. people treat it like almost like it's a religion.
Well, it kind of is.
And my guess is if someone from Disney were to be like, hey, we're going to put this spaceship together and we're all going to rocket off to a new planet in Disney World, like in some far off flung Disney thing, this group of people would be like, how do I get my ticket?
No, I would not.
Riddle me this. Disney comes out and announces that says, we think the world has gone to hell in a handbasket. We need a friendlier place to be. We need something that's focused on love and storytelling and growth as humans. We need to find that. We are going to take these 5,000 people to a new place, and we're going to start over, and it's going to be this Disney utopia. You wouldn't be interested?
Probably not on another planet. Now, I will say, with that, if they said that they were going to make Walt's dream of Progress City, otherwise known as Epcot, come to life in the vision that he had, sign me up.
See? Cult.
Whatever. I'm in it.
Yeah. The thing is, though, if you notice that when people go to Disney World, if they are willing to be a cooperative, just kind person, that is kind of what it becomes when you stay there, is Walt's community that he planned. But like I said, if you're willing to be kind and treat others with respect, follow the golden rule, basically, and just kind of, and then they have everything else taken care of, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to start trying to plan out another falling down the rabbit hole episode of why we didn't get Progress City other than Walt dying.
Okay.
Because I've read some things that, like, we as Americans may not like what being in that kind of an environment actually means. Which is why they kind of scrapped the idea and went a different direction, because it wasn't feasible. So I don't know all the details. Don't roll your eyes at me yet until you listen to the Falling Down a Rabbit Hole episode.
No, I'm not rolling my eyes at you.
Until I do the Falling Down the Rabbit Hole episode.
No, and then I probably won't even roll my eyes at you. I'm just, people drive me nuts sometimes.
Yes. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, I agree. But yes, I'm a member. I'm a full-fledged member of the Disney cult.
It's not like we're asking everybody to drink Kool-Aid or, you know, wear silly tracksuits and the same sneakers. And
no, just mouse ears.
Hey, you know what?
Just mouse ears and sneakers.
And t-shirts.
And t-shirts.
And lounge flies. Yeah. All right. It all falls into place. We have grounds for a new episode.
Right. And you go there to get special drinks.
Yep. And snacks.
Uh-huh. We are a part of the cult, and I'm okay with that.
If ever there was a cult I was okay with being a part of, this would be the one.
Yes. Okay.
Because it doesn't hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you're fully free to leave anytime you want.
I don't feel like I am.
Well, you're not, but I mean, truly, if you want to be miserable, go ahead and leave, but
awesome. Okay, so
I'm sharing my Disney Plus subscription with you. You will felt.
Are there any wonders that now that we've talked about it, that you feel like we left off the list or were good alternates or things that almost made the cut for you?
I would like to bring up another poop one.
Laria.
I'm just kidding.
There is a bird sanctuary in Animal Kingdom that you can walk through, and there are signs that say, watch out for the birds above you.
Yeah.
And the Feathered Friends in Flight. I know those don't go 365 days without pooping on somebody.
Nope.
Yes.
Getting pooped on by a parrot. Macaw. Listeners, let us know what's on your seven wonders of Walt Disney World. Come to our Facebook, our Instagram. Let us know what you think we either got right, got wrong. What would you change? What would you add? Or just tell us what your seven would be. Mm-hmm. And we will love to have that discussion with you. Anything else we want to chat about today?
I don't think so, Laraya.
Nope.
Okay. Remember, there is a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.
And we'll see you real soon.